Line Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
6:34 on a Thursday night in Lansing, heading into the big Christmas weekend right in front of us now. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Emily Scarlett. So AMP Electric Vehicles will debut its new all-electric Jeep Grand Cherokee next month, and that is at the 2012 North American Auto Show in Detroit. Now, it's not the first conventional vehicle that the company has converted, so how do they do it? And when will the market for electric vehicles really take off, especially the larger ones that AMP is creating? To talk about that, I'm joined by AMP Electric Vehicles president and founder, Steve Burns. Welcome to the program, Steve.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
So I guess we're used to seeing these itty-bitty little electric cars. Does it take a lot more battery power to electrically move a larger vehicle like a Grand Cherokee?
Yeah, it's not exactly linear. So a vehicle that weighs twice as much doesn't take twice the energy. It takes a bit more. But if you think about getting behind a car and pushing it, once you get it rolling, they're not too much different. So it takes more, but not as much as one would think.
So we're talking about an all-electric vehicle. This is not a hybrid. Of course, the question always comes down to how far will it go before I need to recharge it.
Right. We think the magic number is north of 100. That gives people a pretty good feel for, their daily running around. It's, again, if you're going to be traveling to Florida or you're going to be doing any long-distance traveling, you still keep a gas car in the family. But this is for folks that 95% of the running, is south of 100 miles a day, so it fits that profile.
Now, AMP does, from what I understand, you guys convert these vehicles, and why are the automakers themselves not creating these types of electric larger vehicles? Are they just, is there not enough of a demand at this point?
It's kind of a classic case of in any industry, the incumbents in the industry are nose down, making their quarterly earnings. Trends come and go, and they can't really, jump on them too full force. So that's where small companies come in America. That's a great thing. So we can be a lot more nimble. We can try things. And then typically the incumbents, when they wake up one day, they say, oh, this looks like it's here to stay. They sometimes enlist the help of these smaller entities that have gotten up to speed.
So these
large companies, their quarterly earnings are going to be made 99.9% on gas cars. So,
how's it been working? I mean, are owners of these vehicles coming in and saying, "I'd like you to convert this," or are the dealerships doing this? Or
no, we're going to sell them through dealerships. So that's what we're going to announce at the Detroit show, our first dealerships. But we, our premise is we're going to start with best of breed vehicles. So, this Jeep, for example, I think Chrysler is saying it's the most awarded SUV in history. So it's a knockout bestseller. People like the styling, the ride. A lot of people like four-wheel drive in their vehicles. So they buy them from the dealers that we're going to sell our cars. They don't buy a car, bring it in, have us convert it. We're a notch above that. We're taking these cars and we crash test them, revalidate them to make sure they're still five-star crash tested, fully validated vehicles.
I'm talking to Steve Burns. He's the president and founder of AMP Electric Vehicles. So without revealing any trade secrets, can you walk me through the typical process of converting a conventional vehicle into an electric one?
Well, core thing is we keep all the core elements. We don't touch the disc brakes, for example. We don't mess with any of the interior. We don't touch any of the safety restraints. They still have 11 airbags, and we maintain all that integrity. The other thing you want to do is keep the weight balance very similar, so the stability control and all the advances and safety features and the anti-lock brakes, all those still work. So the core thing is to, slip an electric motor and some batteries in there and our computer and have it talk seamlessly to the host vehicle's computer. So basically the host vehicle still thinks the gas engine's in there. It behaves as normal.
And a consumer buying a converted vehicle, will he or she be paying more than for that?
Yeah, there's a premium on these just because since we are stripping pieces out, that's not as cost effective as if we were buying them from the manufacturers without any of those components, which we're in discussions with a couple manufacturers to do that, which would bring the price down. But with the Jeep, we've been able to price competitively with, there's a company called Tesla that's kind of really leading the space. And they, to date, came out with a little two-seater Roadster. But they borrowed some money from the taxpayers, and they're coming out with a large sedan that can hold 5 to 7 people. And we are priced competitively with that. So mm-hmm. we think if that many people like a sedan, the same number of people will like an SUV. SUVs are the largest selling segment in America. 26% of the cars sold in America are SUVs.
Well, it certainly would be a dramatic thing to see an SUV quietly rolling down the road, making really no sound. So I want to ask you about the Chevy Volt and these reports of battery fires after mm-hmm. accidents. From what you understand, why is that occurring, and how concerning should that be?
Well, you know, it is interesting to watch. I mean, we know how much testing Chevy did. So, you know, it's kind of obscure that after crash, days later, you know, there could be an incident. Should they be chastised for missing that? I don't know. Well, we took a different path. We took batteries that can't catch on fire, you know, that are intrinsically safe. So you can crush them with a hammer. You can do anything with them. They don't catch on fire. So we just decided in a crash, all bets are off. Any safety system you thought you had, we just didn't feel confident to engineer around that. So we just said, well, in a crash, worst case, no matter what you do to these batteries, they don't catch on fire. So we took a different path. Now, the result is those batteries are a little heavier, but we think the trade-off for the safety was worth it.
What about the sales numbers? I know for the Volt, they fell short for GM, although they're apparently expecting quite an increase next year. Do you think Americans are really ready to invest in electric vehicles?
You know, it's... We look back, you know, you kind of look for any analogies you can. And back in 2000, when the Prius first came out, the hybrid, mm-hmm. The Volt has sold more. The Volt and the Leaf has sold more than the Prius did its first year. So we think that's a good telling sign, you know. It's new technology. The people buying it are people that are just done with oil. And this is for people that just... do not ever want to fill up the oil again for all the reasons that probably everybody's aware of. So there's enough of a contingent of people in that mindset to start a great business with.
I know at Amp Electric Vehicles, you guys make all electric vehicles. What about hybrids? Is there a reason why you're not making those? Are they more complicated to construct?
You know, hybrids kind of, we think, a baby step. You know, it's neither fish nor fowl. It's not electric. It's not. When you try to be both, so you're trying to put two powertrains in one car. That is complex. That's heavy, and that's always going to be more expensive. The purity of these electric cars are just like when you were a little kid and you had a tiny little car and it had a little single cell battery and a little motor. I mean, they're literally that simple. So, in the end, it's the most elegant solution. The only problem is, you know, all gas cars have limited range, but there just happens to be a gas station on every corner in America. And as that infrastructure parallels out in electric charging, you're going to see, really flourish. Or one skirmish in the Middle East and gas goes to $5, people will start, you know, paying attention as well. So it's just, we feel that's so unstable over there and mm-hmm. a billion out of this country every day for foreign oil. So that's, we just feel that's unsustainable for America, and we're trying to do our little part to change that.
Well, one more thing. When it comes to these electric vehicles, I mean, you're looking at our country, which is just enormous, and people travel much further than 100 miles. I mean, we take road trips, right. All kinds of things. What is your vision on how electric vehicles are going to deal with that. I mean, I can't imagine the technology is going to allow for thousands of miles of travel anytime soon. So how will that work exactly?
Well, that's what I was saying. You know, the average car maybe goes 300 or 400 miles on a tank full, right, of gas. So it just happens to be a, you can always count on a gas station. Mm-hmm. And when you can always count, you know, and these cars will very soon go 200-300 miles on a charge.
But they'd have to get recharged, right?
Right. So when you can count on, when you can count on charging stations as prevalent as there are gas stations, then you don't have any worries, and they will completely replace internal combustion. The only thing holding them back is the infrastructure.
Does that not take many hours, though, or several hours to recharge a car?
No, all the ones these days, we're building them for quick charge. So you'll be able to charge them in there. Everybody's gunning for the same 6 minutes it takes to charge your to fill your tank. You know, that seems to be the magic number.
Wow, no kidding. Recharge within 6 minutes to allow for another 100 miles of travel.
Yeah. Whoa. I mean, most of us can refill on a fast charge in 20 minutes now. 6 minutes is coming, but it's moving pretty dramatically.
I see. Well, that,
as you can imagine, batteries are getting better every year.
Yeah, that would certainly be the game changer, being able to refill or re-energize that quickly and get back on the road.
Yep.
Steve Burns, the president and founder of Amp Electric Vehicles, which will be debuting its new all-electric Jeep Grand Cherokee next month at the 2012 North American Auto Show in Detroit. Steve, thank you very much for joining me.
Sure. Thanks, Mike.